Acts 17, we read there in the first two verses of that chapter. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. A man was shoveling snow one day from his driveway, when he was suddenly approached by two young enterprising lads. And these two young lads, they were carrying snow shovels. And one of them went to the man. They said to him, Mister, can we shovel your driveway for you today? We'll only charge you $2. The man was a bit puzzled by this, and he said to that young lad, he said, can you not see that I'm doing it myself? I have my own shovel, and I'm shoveling my own driveway myself. And the young lad responded to the man, and he said, yes, mister, sure, that's why we asked. We get most of our business from those who are halfway through and feel like quitting. But coming into Acts chapter 17, we are met by a man who really is anything but a quitter. Paul was on his second missionary journey, and he had already gone through churches that he had commenced on his first missionary journey. And he had done that to firstly ordain elders, but also to see how those churches were faring spiritually. And then we pick him up in the book of Acts, and we pick him up there as having a burden to head west to the land of Asia Minor. And if you've been on your holidays in Turkey, that's really where the land of Asia Minor in the Bible is, that area in Europe. Paul had a burden to start churches there. But unfortunately, the Lord didn't allow him to go. So he then had this burden to head north to the land of Bithynia. But again, in Acts chapter 16, we read that the Spirit allowed him not to go there. So Paul here, he's meeting with difficulties in the work of God. And undoubtedly, he was frustrated. But he continued on in his journey. And he then eventually cast anchor in a little place called Troas. And there at Troas, you remember what happened. How a man appeared to him out of in a vision at night time, and he said unto him, come over into Macedonia and help us. And in heading to the area of Macedonia, you remember what happened to Paul. He was confronted immediately by difficulties. He went to the city of Philippi, and he was imprisoned for preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And after being released from prison, you could surely forgive Paul for wanting to quit, for wanting to head back to the home church at Antioch. But no, Paul was anything but a quitter. And he then eventually travelled a further 100 miles further to the city of Thessalonica. And that's where we pick up Paul in Acts chapter 17. And as he entered into the little synagogue there in Thessalonica, the Apostle Paul, he didn't waste a second. No, he entered into that synagogue, which was a ready-made congregation, just like a congregation here today. And he immediately preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. You see, despite problems and persecution, Paul continued to persevere. He continued to persevere in the work of God, and he entered into that synagogue in Thessalonica, and he continued to serve Jesus Christ there. And in spite of our circumstances, Christ would have us still to continue. Like the Apostle Paul, as we find him here on his second missionary journey, continuing on with the work of God, pressing on with the work of God, so you too, as Christ has purchased you with his own precious blood, he would have you to continue and to serve, no matter how difficult or desperate the situation might be. I wonder, are you feeling like that today, child of God? Oh, the place that God has placed me, it's difficult. It's hard to continue on. It's hard to press on with the work of God. Well, here's Paul. And here's a good example for you to follow. He's pressing on. He's heading and continuing on with the work of God. Indeed, in reminding us of the same thing, you remember in Judges chapter 7, how the Lord had directed Gideon and told him to cut his army from 22,000 people to just 300. And then whenever he cut his army, you'll remember what happened. They went into the Midianite camp, and there they scattered the Midianite camp. And eventually, after scattering the enemy, they then pursued after the enemy. And in Judges 8, chapter 4, we read that when Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and 300 men that were with him faint, yet pursuing them. Remember this. They had been up all night. They had been encamping around that Midianite camp. And they were undoubtedly tired. They were undoubtedly faint, as the text says. But it doesn't stop there. It says that they were faint, yet pursuing them. And just as the children of Israel, as that army, as they were tired, but they continued on pursuing the enemy, so the Apostle Paul here, and also you, Christian, today, God wants you to pursue or to persevere in the work of God. And I wonder, are you doing that? Oh, yes, the place that the Lord has placed you, you feel like stopping. You feel like stopping serving Christ. But here's Paul, and he's pressing on. And I wonder, is this going to be a word for you today to continue on or to even enlist in the service of God? And so I want to draw your attention today to the Apostle Paul as he ministered for Jesus Christ in Thessalonica. And the subject I want to look at today, very simply, is Paul's ministry in Thessalonica. The first thing I want you to notice about his ministry is the reasoning in Paul's ministry. Because in verse 2 we read that he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. And in going into that synagogue and reasoning with them out of the scriptures, the Apostle Paul here is showing us the importance and the prominence upon the preaching of the Word of God. Whenever you look at the Apostle Paul's missionary journeys, you find that he did virtually the same thing every single time. He either went into a synagogue and he preached the Word of God, or else if there was no synagogue, he then went and stood on a street corner and preached the Word of God. But he is showing us in his missionary journey that ministry for Jesus Christ must be based upon the Word of God. And he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Notice two things about his reasoning. Notice the manner of Paul's reasoning. In verses 2 and 3 we read that Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and be risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. You'll notice there that there are four different words to describe how Paul reasoned out of the scriptures, or how he preached to them out of the scriptures. You'll notice there that he reasoned out of the scriptures. And the word reason there in the original just simply has the idea of dialogue, or to teach by asking and answering questions. The Apostle Paul, he went into the synagogue and he maybe made a statement of truth. And he maybe then stopped the meeting and he asked a question. And he invited them to respond to them. And in responding to that question, he then maybe gave that response. But he's reasoning, or he's dialoguing with them out of the scriptures. But he also opened the scriptures. And the word there, opened there, it just simply means, or has the idea of opening that which was previously closed. And you think about their minds for just a little second. Their minds, they were completely closed to Jesus Christ. And so what did Paul do? He entered into the synagogue and he opened their minds, or he helped them understand certain truths about the Lord Jesus Christ. He then went on and he alleged that Christ must needs have suffered. And the word there, alleged there, it just means to set alongside or to set forth as evidence. You know, a lawyer, whenever he makes an allegation against someone, what does he do? He doesn't just make a blank canvas allegation. No, he sets forth evidence. He backs up what he is alleging. And here's the Apostle Paul. He's alleging that Christ must needs have suffered. In other words, he's backing it up with evidence. He's going to the scriptures. He's showing them. He's alleging. He is setting it forth as evidence. And then finally, he preached the Word of God. And the word there has the idea of a man who goes to his captain. He is a representative of his people. He goes to the captain of the army. He receives the message from that captain. And he then goes back to the troops on the field. And he heralds forth that message to the troops on the field. Now, what's the relevancy of all this today? Well, it shows us very simply that there are many different ways of getting the word of God out to those who are in need. The Apostle Paul, he didn't just stand at a lectern. No, he used many different ways to preach the word of God. And whilst God has ordained one method, preaching, the preaching of Christ, yet he has ordained many ways that this can be performed. And today, wherever the Lord has placed you, whether it be in a factory floor, whether it be in a home, whatever the situation the Lord has placed you in, you can take these principles and you can apply them as to how you serve the Lord Jesus Christ where he has placed you. You can teach people by asking them questions. Just as Paul, as he reasoned with them from the scriptures, so you can get alongside someone. You can ask them a question. Do you know what a Christian is? Do you know how to be a Christian? And if they give you that response, you then witness to them accordingly. But you can also aim to open their minds and the understanding of their minds and showing them something they previously have not understood. Whenever you're going to witness to someone, do you not like to be like the Apostle Paul and make that allegation? But don't make those blank canvas statements. No, back it up. Back it up with the scriptures. Or maybe the Lord might call you to be that herald of his message. To get the message of the captain of your salvation and take it and bring it to his people. But there are many different ways, child of God. Many different ways. And the Apostle Paul here, he's showing us, as his manner was, as he went in the Sabbath day, that there were many different ways that he taught the people. And there are many different ways that you can get the word of God out to those who are in need. Again, in Acts chapter 11 and the verse 19, we read there about the early church. And in Acts 11 verse 19, we read, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch." And it goes on to say there, "preaching the word to none only but the Jews." The context here is simple. It's the early church being persecuted, the persecution of Stephen after his death. The early church, they were experiencing great persecution, and it was pushing the church of Christ from Jerusalem northward to Antioch, where the Apostle Paul was sent from in Acts chapter 13. And as the church were being persecuted, as they were being pushed northward towards Antioch, what was happening? They were preaching the word of God. But the word they're preaching, it just simply means to speak or to communicate. As they were being persecuted, as the early church, they were traveling, Christians were traveling from Jerusalem up to Antioch, they were just simply communicating the word of God. They weren't preaching in that formal sense. They were just speaking about Christ and teaching them the word of God as they went about their daily business. You know, there is not one way to share God's word. There are many ways. There are a multiplicity of ways that you can reach people with the message of the gospel. And Paul here, the manner of his reasoning, he went into the synagogue, but he used different methods or different ways. The manner of his reasoning, but notice also the message in Paul's reasoning. Paul went into the synagogue, but what did he preach? What was his message? Well, verse 3 tells us, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. His message was very simply this, that Jesus Christ, that he was the Messiah, that he was the one sent by God into this world to die for sin. But he also preached that it was necessary for Christ to have suffered. The text there says that he must needs have suffered. You see, this is very important because the Jews at that time, they were waiting on some earthly Messiah, some king, some earthly governor who would come and would govern them as a people and deliver them from the tyranny of the rule of the Roman government. So they were waiting on a completely different type of Messiah. But Paul here, he goes into the synagogue and he says, there is a Messiah coming, but he's not going to be the type of Messiah that you're waiting on. No, it's necessary for this Messiah to have suffered. In other words, to die upon the cross. He was showing that through the scriptures there is this one message. And that one message is this: that salvation can only be through bloodshedding, through the sacrifice of an animal. I imagine the Apostle Paul, we don't know because we're not told, but I imagine the Apostle Paul going through the Old Testament, perhaps the book of Leviticus, and showing them that man has a problem, and that problem is sin. And because of that problem, God is angry with sin. So man has this problem of sin, and God's angry with sin. He must punish sin, because he's a holy and a just God. And the only way that that wrath of God can be appeased is through sacrifice or through the shedding of blood. He would have walked them through the scriptures, maybe asking them questions, maybe teaching them, as I've already said. And he then would have brought it all together in that lovely statement in verse 3. And that this Jesus whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And he was saying that there is going to be a Messiah who's going to come, but he must needs suffer. And that man, that Jesus Christ, he was the one. He was the one who fulfilled, he was the one who epitomized all of those Old Testament sacrifices. This was his message, that Christ, he had to suffer in order for the wrath of God to be appeased. And whilst there are many methods in speaking, there's one message. And that one message is the suffering and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, in the Old Testament, it was necessary for an animal to be slain, for an animal to be sacrificed. But it all points to the Lamb of God, doesn't it? Jesus Christ himself, who took away the sin of this world. And whenever you're seeking to minister or to reach people with the message of the gospel, I said to you that there's many different methods. You can get along people and speak to them. But this is your message. This is your message. The message that Jesus Christ, he must needs have suffered. He must needs have went to the cross. He had to shed his precious blood. That is the message that you sit down with an individual and you explain to him very simply. Well, that is the essence of ministry for Jesus Christ. And maybe there's somebody in the meeting this morning and you're not yet a Christian. My friend, that's the only message that will save your precious soul. That it was necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ to suffer. Because God's wrath is poured about upon sin. God must judge sin. But there is an answer. There is a remedy for sin. That Christ, he must needs have suffered. That's why he had to suffer. He had to suffer to deal with sin. He is fulfilling all of those Old Testament sacrifices. And this is what the Apostle Paul was showing. And this is what you need to grasp if you're ever to be saved. That you need to grasp that Christ died. And he died in your place and in your room and in your stead. Did the Apostle Paul, when he was at the church at Corinth, was this not exactly the same message that he preached? In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, we read there as he wrote to that church, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." And he's saying to the church at Corinth, my message is exactly the same. Christ crucified. It was necessary for him to suffer. And he said, that's the message I've preached to you. You're not to shun the cross, child of God, but you are to speak and to share the cross. And I wonder, are you doing that this morning? As the Apostle Paul here is showing you, there's many different ways of doing it. But there's one message. The blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That it was necessary for him to suffer. Or are you sharing that, child of God? Are you sharing that message? Are you sharing the message of Christ? You know, John Wesley one day was taking a service on a Sunday. It was an evening service. And he came back to his house and he saw that the lights were on and that there was, it seemed to be activity in that house. And he actually discovered that when he went into the house, he was being burgled. And so he cried out to that thief, "Stop, I have something more for you. My friend, you may live to regret this sort of life. And if you ever do, here's something to remember." And this is what he said to the thief. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. The thief, he gathered up whatever he had and he scarpered off. But Wesley prayed for that man, that simple witness that he had made in difficult circumstances, that witness he had made might bear fruit. And he then went some years later, and he was preaching in another church. And as he went to the door to shake the hands of the people, he discovered this man, that thief, that man who had been in his house. And as that man approached him, he said to Wesley, "Now I am a Christian, and I owe it all to you, Mr. Wesley." But John Wesley immediately stopped him there, and he said, "Oh no, my friend, not to me, but to the precious blood of Christ." And he said, "You were saved because of Christ, because of his blood, because he shed his blood for you." And that is the message that we must all proclaim to the world that is dying in sin. The reasoning in Paul's ministry. Notice secondly, the recipients of Paul's ministry. Some listened to this message. Some, as they were sitting in the synagogue, they listened to him and were converted to Christ. Notice two things about these recipients, those who were converted. Notice their composition or their makeup. In verse 4 we read, "Some of them believed, of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few." There were three categories of believers in the synagogue. Some were Jews, some were devout Greeks who were previously proselytes, but had then left their paganism and turned to Judaism. And so they had converted to Judaism, but then whenever Paul came, they were converted to Christianity. And there were also the chief women. And that refers to the upper class ladies in Thessalonica. And whenever Paul preached in the synagogue, whenever he preached that Christ must needs have suffered, what happened? Many different types of people, at least three are mentioned here, were saved. Different classes, different categories of sinner were saved because they believed in that message of Christ the crucified. And Christ saves all colour, all category, and all class of sinner. He saves all those who believe that he died upon the cross. And whenever you go to witness in that difficult place, remember that. Remember that Christ is able to save the best and the worst of sinners. He is able to save that man that you find very hard against the gospel. That lady who is stubborn against the gospel. Maybe that person who feels they are too rich to come to Christ. That person who feels that they are too sinful to come to Christ. Oh, encourage yourself, believer, that whenever the message of Christ crucified is presented, there will be those who will believe. And they will be from different backgrounds in life. Different types of people. And this is what happened when Paul preached that day. And it's not only when Paul preached. Remember Peter. Remember in Acts chapter 2 when he preached that message on the day of Pentecost. What happened? 3,000 precious souls were saved. But what type of souls were there? Where did they come from? What country were they come from? Well, what type of background did they have? Were they all the same people? No. Because in Acts 2 verse 5 we read, "There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven." And the Holy Spirit tells us there that many nations were gathered under heaven that day. All the known world and those from all of those different nations were saved. They were saved on that day. Christ's salvation and his call is not limited, but it is limitless. There is no limit as to who, when, and where Christ can save. And that ought to encourage you, believer, as you go out to try and be faithful to him, that Christ is able to save those whom you would even, humanly speaking, write off. He's able to save every category of sinner. The composition of the recipients. Notice also their conduct, or the conduct of the recipients. In verse 4 we read, "And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas." And the word here, consorted, it just simply means to associate with, or to join together, or just to spend time with. And evidently there were some who were saved in Thessalonica as a result of Paul's ministry. And what did they do? What did these believers do? They consorted with Paul and Silas, or they associated with them. You see, and now being Christians themselves, they had that desire to associate with other believers. They now spent time with these two faithful Christians and associated with them. They had that desire to be amongst fellow believers. And we are not to live our lives apart from Christians, but rather to associate with other Christians. We are not to live as the Roman Catholic Church teaches us, to live like monks, to separate ourselves, as it were, from the world. No, we are to enjoy that fellowship with other believers. That's one of the benefits and blessings of coming to the house of God, of availing yourselves, of even going to the midweek meeting, of eventually joining your local church, and availing yourselves of those benefits, those blessings that come from associating with other believers. Because there are times that you're going to get down. You're going to be discouraged. And there'll be another believer there who maybe just has that word of encouragement for you. And even in coming to the house of God and hearing the word of God. Oh, here's the Christians here. And they're joining with other Christians. And I wonder, believer, have you that desire? That desire to spend time with other believers. Spend time. Because it's for your benefit. And it is a blessing unto you. You know, in the South Pole, I don't know if you've ever been there, probably not in all likelihood. It's pretty cold. But in the South Pole, there is a little penguin that lives there called the Emperor Penguin. And in the South Pole, now I've never been there, thankfully, but I'm told that it can reach as low as minus 40 degrees Celsius. And that little penguin, the Emperor Penguin, how on earth does it survive in those freezing cold temperatures? Well, they actually survive by sticking together. What happens is they get together in a little huddle, and whilst it's minus 40 degrees all around them, yet whenever they get together in that little huddle, and there can be hundreds and sometimes even thousands of these penguins, whenever they get together and huddle together, the temperature, the core temperature in the middle of that huddle can reach as high as room temperature. Up even till 30 degrees Celsius, just within a couple of hours. And it goes to show us the lesson, the importance of staying together, the importance of associating and joining and spending time with other believers. I wonder if you that desire, believer, to associate with other Christians. The reasoning in Paul's ministry, the recipients of Paul's ministry, but lastly, notice the resistance to Paul's ministry. Oh, some, they believed and they responded positively, but others, they responded negatively. They didn't listen and they were against Paul's ministry. They resisted his ministry. And in not listening to him, notice two things again. Notice their incredulity, or just simply their unbelief. In verse 5 we read, "But the Jews which believed not moved with envy." And the phrase there, "believe not," it has the idea of knowing something is true, but being rebellious against that truth. It's used many times in the New Testament to describe just that. And it seems that these Jews who were gathered in the synagogue that day, that they listened with intent to Paul's message, and they knew in their hearts that this was right, that this Jesus whom he was preaching was the Christ, that he was the Messiah, that it was necessary for him to suffer, that it was necessary because he was the fulfillment of all those Old Testament types and shadows. And deep within their heart, they knew that what Paul's saying here, it's true. But what did they do? They were filled with unbelief in the sense that they hardened themselves against that message. Oh, they knew it was true. But they didn't want it. They didn't want Christ to reign over their lives. And they refused to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever you share Christ, while some will receive him, others will reject him. Others will just simply reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Well, because of their sinful, obstinate, and rebellious heart. And I wonder even this morning, is there someone in the meeting like that? As yet, you are a Christ rejecter. I trust that the Lord will break down that stony heart of yours and open it that you might see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are involved in the service of God, and we all should be involved in the service of God in some way or another, in sharing Christ, some will just not believe. Christ himself said that they wouldn't come to him that they might have life. And it teaches us a valuable lesson, that we're not called to be successful. We're just simply called to be faithful, called to preach Christ. And I'm sure Paul, when he went to Thessalonica, he knew there's going to be some here and they're not going to believe. But he went on and he preached Christ anyway. And they hardened their necks against Christ. Their incredulity. But notice also their activity. In verse 5, the second part of the verse, we read about their activity, that they took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar. In being full of hardness of heart towards Christ and his servants, what did they do? They took some troublemakers from that city, and they started a riot. They weren't just simply to reject the message. No, they had to bent themselves on doing all that they could to disrupt and to stop the work of Jesus Christ in Thessalonica. Oh, they attacked the house of Jason, where Paul and Silas were staying. And they, whenever they couldn't find Paul and Silas, they actually attacked that poor believer. And they were bent on doing all that they could to disrupt and to stop the work of God in that city. Their unbelief led them to persecute believers. And when we present Christ, at times we will be persecuted for Christ. There will be those who believe not your message and believe not in Jesus Christ and him crucified. But not only that, they'll actually set themselves against you and make your life difficult. Make your life hard to be a Christian. And we are to just simply deal with them in a gracious, that gracious and Christ-like manner as is befitting of the gospel. But it shows us that we're even to expect these things. That we're not to expect to be a friend of the world in that sense. Yes, we must be friendly. But we're not to expect to be loved by everybody. There will be many. And even when you look at this in the context, verse 5 tells us that the whole city was in an uproar. Most of the city wanted nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And yet we are to just simply be faithful. Oh, many are called, but few are chosen. But we're just simply to be faithful and present Jesus Christ. Paul's ministry in Thessalonica. Paul, he was involved in the service of God. Well, he had every reason and every good reason to stop. He was finding it difficult, under persecution. But no, he kept going. And he entered into the synagogue and preached Christ using various methods. And while some listened to him, others didn't. And I trust that the Lord will give you that same grace to continue in the work of God and to present Christ as Paul did on that day. May God bless his word to each of our hearts.